think, my brothers and sisters. Okay, what were we talking about? Okay, we're talking about the message. Right, the message that saves, the message that brings hope, the message that brings joy, the message that brings peace. So it basically, to the religious person, you know, who may have a zeal for God, but they will be offended by it. And to the humanist, we're Fruit Loops. It's nonsense. Verse 24. But to those called by God to salvation, both, I don't want to debate on predestination because I don't know, both Jews and Gentiles, so from both groups, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose the things that the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose the things that are powerless to shame those that are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. Where's the power in the message? What room is there for boasting or feeling proud or clever? Because it's his message, it's his power. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. And chapter 5. Where should we start? We'll start in verse 17. And he's talking about we've got to stop looking at people and Jesus through just human eyes. Verse 17. We did a lot of work on this one a few months ago. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given this task, has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. So I think it's fair to say that Japan has had a fairly bad week. I mean, my goodness me, any one of those things on their own. Well, they had earthquakes, tsunami, nuclear meltdown, and someone said, I haven't seen the news for a couple of days, they've had a volcano go off as well. So, you know, all they need now is a meteor strike, and they've got the set. You know, I mean, that is a really rough time. Now, is God punishing them for their sins? Well, not according to this, because he's not holding men's sins against them. It's just horrible. That's what it is. It's the world is broken. Jesus warned us these things would happen, but what we see here, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Praise you, Jesus. So we have a job. We just read it. What's the job? Yeah, preach it, make it known to God. People know, help people know God's message, however you want to put it. There's two things I want to say on that, and then I'm finished. Number one, you don't have to, we've already seen that, have that message as a reality in your life. But do you think it makes a difference if it is? Yeah. If we can know, when we were singing tonight, just when Mike led us in Amazing Grace, I had no concept of grace when I became a Christian. I really didn't. I sort of grew up into legalism, really. But I knew enough that I could help some people along the way. But now I understand more about grace. I know that what I share has a much bigger impact because it's more in line with the message. And so it becomes a reality to us that we are forgiven, that God is not holding our sins against us. And I know there's, you know, talking to Lola earlier, there is a call for us to live in holiness and to have a certain lifestyle, but that is birthed out of this salvation. It's not the way into the salvation. I remember a guy who became a Christian saying, yeah, well, I'm not good enough yet. I need to wait until my life is better, then God can accept me. And that's, you know, I understand why he's thinking that, but that's upside down. No, just come as you are. Yeah, otherwise, it's, you know, God saying, give me holiness and I'll make you righteous. That doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. So if we can have that as a reality in our lives, that makes a difference. But the most important one, and I've already said this tonight, is this, is we need help to come to a place of faith that God can use us to tell people this amazing message. Now, do you think God knows the whereabouts of every person who is ready to hear? Do you think he knows the whereabouts of every person who's not ready to hear but needs to hear anyway? Absolutely. Is it beyond his ability to connect us to them? Not in the least. And you know, the New Testament, I think God is trying to get through to us. How many of you, the Ethiopian eunuch, you know, I mean, the lengths God went to save him and then spirited Philip away. God can do it. Look at what happened, you know, with Wendy. God will do that, but I think where we're at, and I'm being honest here, I think you know that, I'm not trying to put us down, where we're at is we know that that can happen, but I don't think that's something that burns, oh yeah, but that's going to happen to me. And I think there's a couple of reasons for that, well, it's probably a whole list of them, but one, I think we think the onus is on us, we feel the pressure on us and not the message. Lean on the message. Let me just, all right, quick bit of sales training. Right. If you're marketing a product, if you develop, particularly in direct sales, if you develop what is called a sales track and it works properly, one of the things you train your staff to do is you will say to them, work the system and the system will work for you. So in other words, every time you go out to talk to potential customers, stop reinventing the wheel. Get to know our gospel, our message as a company, and just tell potential customers. And funnily enough, it works. And you'll know there's a direct correlation between sales and how many people you spoke to. I didn't sell anything this week. How many people did you talk to? None. Well, that's not surprising then, is it? And so that's not rocket science. But the key is you try to get into the salesperson a confidence in their message. So they start to lean on the power of your service or your product or whatever it is, unless you're selling garbage, of course, but providing you've got a decent product, you lean on that. It's exactly the same for us. We have a message. And I don't think we've been trained to lean on the message. I think we've been trained to lean on our abilities. Yeah. The power of the message. I do. I mean, you've got to be careful of extremes, haven't you? Because St. Francis said, you know, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. And he had a really good point. There is a point there. But Jesus, who is God, who came in all perfection, still had to preach. He still had to talk to, when I say preach, we need to sort of change that word because what it really means is proclaim. and you say, you can proclaim in Starbucks. And I don't mean you say, excuse me, I want you are sitting down, you just bought someone a coffee, and I proclaimed in Wetherspoons the other night. You know, I met with someone and they wanted to know more about Jesus, and so I was able to explain to them, you know, and I was driving, so I had Diet Coke and they drank half a bottle of red wine, which was quite entertaining. But anyway, but the point is it when we read that word preach, we're so churched, we think of this, and really, I'm equipping. That's what I that's my job. To preach means just to proclaim. And it's, oh no, you don't need all that religious stuff in your life. You don't have to, you know, oh, watch that program on the universe. I'm so depressed now. My life has no meaning. Oh no. Let me give you some good news. All right, there is a God who loves you, and even though your sins have separated you from him. Let me throw somebody else in. This I meant to say this earlier, and I forgot. Forgive me. But just something that C.S. Lewis said, and it's been bubbling in me for the last few days, and I just feel to release it, is the gospel has nothing to say to the person who doesn't think they need to be rescued. It only becomes relevant when you start to become aware of the fact that you're lost, that you are a sinner, that you're not just what you've done. You may never have robbed a bank or beaten up an old lady or anything like that, but just your very nature is contrary to God. And you know, and until that becomes at least a germ of reality, the gospel actually is really meaningless. It's which is why, you know, we say sometimes it helps saying, you know, have you, well, you're a good person, have you kept the Ten Commandments? Of course, you've shown they've broken every single one. No, that's absolutely right. And if you're talking about God's perspective, you know, in Acts, Paul went to Athens and didn't get on too well, did he? And then he went on from there to Corinth. Now, Corinth was, you know, it made 1960s Soho look like a Sunday school park, you know. I mean, it was a rough place morally. And God says to Paul, I want you to stay here because I have many people here. And now, whoa, hang on. God, they're all sleeping with each other, everybody else, and things we don't want to talk about. They're high, they're into witchcraft. There's all this stuff firing off, and God says, I have many people here. So God's perspective is whilst he's in the temple doing unmentionable things, God says, oh, he's mine. And I want him to hear. When Jonah was sent to preach, God said, you know, I've got people and the animals. Don't forget the animals. Okay. Well, I normally eat them, God. But anyway, you know, that you see a little insight into God's heart there, that God sees it differently. Now, if God could say of Corinth, I've got people there, and if he could say of Nineveh, I've got people there, do you think he's got some people in Exeter who right now are shooting up or doing whatever it is? Or maybe they're just being middle class, which is probably the worst sin of all. But what, you know, whatever it is they're doing, do you think there are a number here that still need to hear? Okay, our responsibility, our task is to ask him and to be persistent in seeking him. Lord, I get my eyes off me. You are smart enough. to use me. You can bring the divine connections. And you'll just get a sense, you'll know. I mean, Adrian has come up with, it's a bit of mind trickery, really, but he's since he's been signed off work, he's turned into a full-time evangelist, and he just, has he got two churches kicking off now? You don't want to breathe in the smoke that's breathed out in some of them too deeply, not unless you want to relax. But he's really making inroads into these people groups. And so he'll sit there talking to them, and then he'll just do this and go, "You've had an experience of God, haven't you?" And they go, "How do you know?" And what he's worked out is nearly every single person you talk to somewhere along the line has had an experience of God, their dream, something happened or something supernatural kicked off. And then, of course, suddenly, tell me about it. So they talk, and then, of course, the door opens. And so, you know, you'll find what works for you. But it won't kick off unless we start to take it more seriously. And I'm really cautious here to load people up. But I keep saying I'll finish, and I might not be lying this time. Do you understand what it means to be in debt to people? Okay, so you owe somebody something. Let me just give you an example here. Okay, if I say, I take this 20 quid, don't give it to her, but I say to Mike, could you give that to Lola? Who's he in debt to? No, he's in debt. He has what belongs to her. He is now in debt to Lola until he's handed her what I asked him to give her. So this is from me to Lola. Please give this to Lola. Mike is now in debt to Lola till he has fulfilled that. Okay, God says, this is the message of eternal life, the story of my son Jesus. Would you please give that to your generation? He is now in debt. And the Apostle Paul said, I am a debtor to the civilized and the barbarians. Because what I'm carrying doesn't belong to me. God has given it to them. And we are in debt. We are not here as the sin police. We are not here to moralize people. We are here to be used of God, whether, you know, you see yourself as an instrument of in a surgeon's hand, or you're the donkey's jawbone in the hand of Samson, whichever you are. But you are here to be used of God to take this good news to the people he connects you with. And I think it's not about standing on street corners. It's saying, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. So perhaps we should just finish on that. Let's pray. And none of us can say, I'm too young, I'm too old, because God is above all of that. He's cleverer than that. And we worship you, Lord. And Lord, you are good, and you hear our prayers. And I ask this, and if anybody agrees with this, then please ask yourself, just to put your faith in with this. I ask you, Heavenly Father, for the gift of faith, that we can start to trust you to give us opportunities to share this message, that we will fulfill our responsibility, we will pay our debts. And Lord, not in that horrible, indifferent way that the church is so famous for, but actually on a one-to-one, loving basis, we will share this message with those that you connect us with. And so, Lord, we ask for these opportunities. Our Lord, set us free from leaning on us and help us to lean on you. Help us to understand the power is in the message. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that Christ, the perfect, the righteous, died for sinners and rose again, that whoever believes in him would receive the gift of everlasting life, that we are put right with God, that we're in God's good books just because we believe. Thank you, Lord. And so, Lord, for all those people, all the different ages across this city and the villages that we come from, you know who they are. You already are familiar with them. Join us, Lord. Connect us with them that they can hear this amazing message. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I just encourage you, pull on this for yourself in your heart. You know, let the Lord know, yeah, I'm in on this. I want to be a part of this. And none of us can boast. None of us can brag, because it's all of him. It's his story. It's his power. And we're his people. And we thank you and we praise you for it, Lord. Amen.